Hello and welcome to the Let Your Kingdom Come podcast, a source for teachings and sermons by Kenny Hebert, as well as thoughtful conversations with other individuals on a variety of different topics within the Kingdom of God. This is your host, Kenny Hebert, and today we will be starting a new series titled No One Knows. And what we'll be doing over the next few episodes will be looking at Matthew 20, chapter 24 through 25, where the disciples ask some questions of Jesus about the end coming and when will that happen? When will the destruction of the temple? Because he makes a statement prior to. And then Jesus starts to talk about some of those, giving some answers to that, but never really being clear about the timing. And then he starts to talk about some other things to do in the meantime. And then he closes with some parables to challenge the disciples that he's talking to, and also us as we're reading this ourselves. And so we'll be going through that over the next, a few episodes. I don't know how many for sure. But let's start with Matthew 24. Oh, before I forget, I have someone joining me today. Is my friend William Puckett. How are you doing, William?
Hey, how's it going? I'm doing good.
Good. Yes, he's going to be joining me in discussion and reading some of the scripture and sharing some thoughts as we go through this, so it won't be me alone. Your host, Kenny Hebert. So let's start with Matthew 24, William, verse 1 through 14.
All right, so it says, Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these? Do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Next part is called Signs of the End of the Age. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased and love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come."
Thank you, William. Let's go back to verse 1, where Jesus is leaving the temple, and as he's going away, the disciples come to him and they make a point to point out, look at the buildings of the temple. They're proud of it. They're looking. This is like this is the thing it said to them, Israel, the Jews, apart from all those people, is this temple where God. Where heaven and earth connect at that point, where this is where people come to know the Creator God of all things. So they're saying, "Look at this temple, Jesus," just like we might do in our own day. Like, "Look at our church, look at our sanctuary, look at the nice pews we have. We go, you know, and we do all those things." We can fall into the same thing. And here they're saying this, they're making a big deal about this structure. And what does Jesus reply?
Oh, let me see here. "You see all these? Do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down."
Now, how do you think they would have they're saying, "Look at this temple, look at the buildings," and they're so proud of who they are, what they have, and Jesus goes, "Nothing's going to be left of this thing here." Yeah. What do you think they're thinking? Like, what are they thinking? What's going through their mind?
I think it was, as the temple was a source of their location for hope. It was a physical location of their hope. He just tore them all down. Like, dude.
Yep.
To think of the idea that this is going to pass away.
Yep.
That there's no longer going to be, how do you put it, an altar that connected directly to the Lord.
Yeah. Yep. And even, I think, too, is that that's a one part. And there's also a part of, like, this is their identity.
Yeah.
This is how they identify themselves. This is where they meet with their God. This is who they are. And so, and I'm sure they're stunned. Like, what's going to happen to our traditions? What's going to happen to, how are we going to sacrifice to God? All those things, they don't understand yet what is to come, as Jesus is going to die on the cross. But they're struggling with all those things. I'm sure they're wondering, what's this mean? So they, in response, they're probably stunned. And then we see in verse 3, they're like, they come to him probably like, well, tell us, when is this going to happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So they turn their attention right away to thinking like, well, the end is going to be coming. You know, they're expecting that, you know, they see Jesus as a Christ. They've already confessed that, Peter did, and they're understanding what that meant and what their hopes were that they come with that. So here he's saying this. They're turning and asking these questions because they want to know. They want to know. They don't want to miss his coming and his destruction and be a part of it. And so let's look at actually Matthew 23, verse 37 through 39 first, and let's read that one. And then we're going to look at one in Luke 19. But this is something that Jesus says just prior to them asking these questions, and Jesus talking about the destruction of the temple here in Matthew, and in Luke's translation, it's just prior to it. It's the same time, but Luke has had something else that actually helps us understand why they may be asking this question.
So Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yes, and this little section that William has read, it's titled The Lament Over Jerusalem. And Jesus, as he's coming to Jerusalem, he's heading towards the cross, and he has this discussion we just started reading with the disciples, but he's making this pronouncement. He's lamenting. He's lamenting over Jerusalem's rejection of him. And he says, your house is going to be left desolate. Just like he says when they say, look at this temple. And he says, it's all going to be destroyed. So they know he's talking to what he just said prior to that, that it's going to be left desolate, your house. And like, let's read Luke's translation also. Or Luke's not translated, but Luke's version of that.
Version, yeah. Luke 19:41-44. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, and you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation.
See, here the disciples have heard him speak that over Jerusalem, speaking that to the religious leaders, that there's a coming time, there's destruction that's coming because they missed the time of the visitation. They were caught up in all the religious stuff. And not the religious thing, not that we going to church and doing these religious activities are bad, but they became the end and they missed him. And he's pronouncing this judgment that's going to come upon them, upon their children. And the disciples have heard Matthew's version of it and Luke's version of it. And here he's telling them again, the temple, it's always, you know, you're looking at this temple, guys, and this is nothing. This is going to come tumbling down, nothing left. And they're like, okay, we don't want to miss it either. That's why they're asking these questions. They're like, we want to be ready for this. If this is about to happen, is it going to happen soon? Really, they're expecting it's going to happen soon also. So they're intent in getting an answer from Jesus so that they are actually not part of the people that miss it. But now here, as we're talking about this, William, there's there's not just, it's not just about being ready themselves. There's other things to consider here in these questions. You know, they know that Jesus. They know to some degree, understanding where they were at that point. That they had already confessed that Jesus was the Christ, and so they have this expectation that he's going to come into power soon. Their expectation from the Old Testament prophets and the promises God had made to them that when the Christ came, the kingdom would come and all wickedness would be destroyed, and they would consider that the Romans. And so they're expecting that's going to happen soon. And not only that, they're expecting, like, we're Jesus' disciples. You know, we're going to be in power with him, not just the Jewish people as a whole, but us. We're going to be in power. And if we look at chapter 23, where he speaks all these woes over the religious leaders, you know, they almost like they might be thinking that they're going to be overruling them even. And so there's all this is in their thinking, what's happening. In fact, even you think back, you know, when John and James come and they're like, Jesus, can one of us sit on your left, one sit on your right? You know, they're looking to be in power with Jesus, ruling all nations. Not just that Jesus, but they're going to be with him. So those are all part of the expectations. And even the disciples, when they find out John and James ask, what are they going, like, hey, they're all upset. They're upset because they beat them to the punch in asking Jesus for the place of power. But see, those are the expectations. So what we want to do is explain some of the terminology they use and what it would have meant for them and their expectations. And that way, because it's going to make a big difference in understanding as we start to go through the rest of chapter 23 and 24. And those that are listening, this is important to understand the perspective. A lot of times we look at this. Me and William were talking before we started recording about, we talk about the end of the age or the end times. And you start to look at it with a perspective that we have this perspective of what the end times is going to look like. And that way, we start to look at the rest of these two chapters through that lens, instead of looking at it through how Jesus is talking to them and what they're thinking. So it's important for us to look at and get the context of how they're thinking and what they were expecting. And the answer to those questions, Jesus is saying, then we can better understand how they relate to us. And they're relative to our life just as well as for them. Because Jesus is not just saying it for them. He's saying these words for us also. So let's look at a few. First of all, the end of the age. What does it mean, the end of the age? Now, that's a phrase sometimes people say, well, I've kind of heard that. What does that mean? What does Jesus mean, or the disciples mean, by the end of the age? So let's look at a couple different scriptures to see that it's not just here that it's mentioned. So, William, could you read? We're going to read a couple of these verses. It's Matthew 12, 32. Can you read that one for us?
And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. Wait, what? And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come.
Okay.
I had to take a moment there to figure out what.
Yeah, I was, yeah, me thinking, what? But no, he says they won't be forgiven either in this age or in the age to come. And here Jesus is using this. He's talking about he's casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And he's saying those that speak against the Holy Spirit, he uses the phrase, won't be forgiven within this age, in the age to come. So I want to share a couple of scriptures with everybody that's listening to see that this is not like a one thing in Matthew 23-24 that we're reading. It's a common phrase they would have understood. So let's look at Matthew 13:39.
So, and the enemy who sowed them in is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age.
Okay, so here now this is talking about not just, this one singles out the end of the age, it doesn't talk about the age to come. And this helps us understand, Jesus is, this is the chapter with the parables from the sower of the seed and the judgment coming. That was no judgment in the sower of the seed, but there's another one about the weed seeds and the good seeds, and there's a judgment at the end. And he talks about how's it worded? It says they'll be gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. So there's an expectation for them at the end of the age, there was a coming judgment coming. The Jewish people had this expectation when Messiah came, at that time, it would be a time of judgment on all wickedness and all evil. Now let's go back to the previous one where it talks about the age, the current age or this age, and then the age to come. And so this current age is the time from creation to right now, and it's continuing until this age ends. So this time frame is a linear line that history has been running through. And so that's our current age. And it will continue until Jesus returns again and sets up his kingdom forever. And so their expectation was when Messiah came, and he came, he shows up this first coming, we know it now. And so there's that first, that's the current age we live in. So in this age, and so they're looking for this age because actually let's read Galatians 1:4.
Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father.
So this is Paul writing, and he's writing and he says that he gave himself for our sins to deliver us not just from this age, this present age, or the current age. He says this present evil age. And see, they saw this age because of sin from Adam to now, and that it was evil. And there was brokenness, lawlessness that was in this time. But God, Jesus came not just to forgive us, but to deliver us while we live in this evil age that we can live differently. So he's saying this age is evil. And so that's why they saw at some point it's going to end. God's going to come back, judge all evil, and it's going to finally be done. No more evil ever again. And so and that would start a whole new age, the age to come. So does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, it kind of goes with the verse here that you point out for me to read in Mark 10:30. Who will not receive 100-fold now in this time? Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life.
Yeah. So there is. So that's a good one to point out, William. There's that here's this current age. We're delivered from the evil age. God's blessing, or we live within the kingdom. Now it doesn't mean everything's going to be peachy keen. Everything's going to be nice, and you know, as some people say, you know, unicorns all over the place.
The unicorns.
We're still going to be. We live in a broken world. We're still going to have evil around us. We were just talking earlier about our bodies hurting in different ways. That's still going to happen, but in the end, there's coming a time when then that will finally end, and then there'll be eternal life, the fullness of it in the coming age. And so that's what their expectation, and their understanding when they say we're asking when the end is going to come, when the end of the age, it's not just end. So when some people are hearing us and they read this, they only hear, oh, the end's coming. No, the end of the age. What did they think? What was Jesus responding to as we were going to look at it, as we look further into it, is that question, their understanding that there was a Christ would come. And it would, and they actually saw it as that there would be a significant moment where it would be almost a catastrophic event where the Christ would come, and in his coming, he would end all evil. And their expectation meant they would overthrow the Romans, cast them out, get rid of them, put them back in power. There would be healing for everybody, forgiveness of sin, and acceptance before God for their people. And then they would be put in power, they would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they would be living in resurrected bodies. So that was their expectations, and they would rule over all the nations now as God's people. And so that's their expectation.
They saw it in a physical sense, that yep. The kingdom coming was a physical coming.
Yep, and it's going to be in the future.
Yes.
And they're expecting it with Jesus, because that was their, you know, we're looking at it through a lens through Christ now. They were looking at it through this promises that really has shaped, because they looked at it because they were being oppressed all the time. Different, you know, in Egypt, going into Babylon, all these different things. They're looking for a time when they would finally rule in righteousness with Christ over all the nations, over all the earth, there would no be sickness anymore. There would no more sin anymore. Everything would be forgiven. All people would live in peace. There would be the true shalom over all things and wholeness for everybody and eternal life. It would never end. And they would live in resurrected bodies, renewed bodies, never to be sick. You know, so there would be, and they expected a complete resurrection of everybody at once. So when Jesus talks about him rising from the dead by himself, that was like, wait a minute, one person?
Oh, they expected to be doing it with them.
All people.
Oh, okay.
All right. And so there's all those things. So those, that shapes them. So Jesus, that's what they're asking. They're asking, you know, when is this end going to come? When is this going to happen? You know, and so this is an important way to see this and understand this. Now William's hearing this kind of for the first time, I think, as I'm sharing it with him. I've shared bits and pieces, but now, does that make sense to you? You have any questions to that that maybe others may have also?
No, it does, because like they were always thinking it was going to happen right then and there, and when Jesus rose from the dead on his own, by himself,
yes,
only, and yeah, not all of them got changed up and in new bodies.
Yes, right. So they were expecting it now, before he dies. And then after he dies and resurrected, they're expecting it again. And he's saying, not yet, guys.
Gotcha.
So that's a whole other series we can do, because that's a whole... Jesus' answers as he's coming. Jesus comes and he says, the kingdom of God is available now. I'm here. I'm the king. I brought the kingdom. And they're expecting it was fullness. But it's not. It's coming apart. That's why John sends... I forget exactly, it might be Matthew 12, where John sends some of his people to him. He's in prison to Jesus, like, are you the one? And you're asking, he goes, are you the one? And then Jesus says, go back and tell John, the poor hear the good news for once. And because back then the poor never had good news.
Yeah.
But Jesus came and preached the good news to the poor. And the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised, and tell them what you see and hear. And so John had an expectation. You're the Christ. You're supposed to be overthrowing Rome. I'm in jail here, and I'm about to lose my head. And so when's the end happening? So even John had expectations.
Initially, he wasn't concerned about being in jail because he was expecting his bro to come and get him.
So see, all these expectations are important to understand how the Jewish, and we come with all ours. Even as we're going to look at this, if we were to read, parts of 24, people are going to right away, oh, that's, but this means this for the end time. Well, this means this for the end time. We don't want to get into that. We're going to miss something. And Jesus is answering questions for them, and he's very vague about some of the answers. But it's because of this end times, their expectations, and they're wanting to be prepared. And he's letting them know it's not yet. It's going to be a while, guys. Just realize that. But they're still going to ask later on, is it now yet?
Yeah.
So, but that's a part of what we're seeing. So as I've said, there's this expectation that the disciples had because of this, the history they had and the promises and their perspective that was gained from the Old Testament. And Jesus is coming with these new expectations, a new perspective, a new insight into the kingdom that they didn't understand. It hadn't been revealed yet. Or, not necessarily, it hadn't been revealed yet. They had gone off track from it and understanding what the kingdom was all about. And Jesus is coming and clarifying it. A lot of his teaching is to clarify the kingdom. And here he's doing that with them. And Jesus, as we're going to look at the rest of Matthew 24 and into 25, Jesus is making some points about a variety of the different future events that'll be happening that will come before that judgment does come. And so he does give them some input, and we'll see some input that helps them leave and flee Jerusalem before the destruction. But there's things he just talks about the future, and he's really telling them that he's purposely not telling them exact things so that they will look to him all the time, and that they'll be prepared for the end. And so what does Jesus focus on here in regards to being prepared? And he's saying, you know, we need to understand the future is still off in the future, and it's coming. But before then, we have to live prepared. We have to live ready. I read a quote yesterday. It's better to be ready than to be getting ready. And so Jesus is telling certain things. He doesn't tell them a time, but he's going to be telling them things as we look through the rest of the two chapters of how to stay ready and prepared. And so, but one thing that Jesus does say in the very first thing in an answer, they're asking, they're like, when's the end? Okay, when are you going to come? When's the destruction going to happen? And he starts off with an answer to start with how to be prepared. You want to read that in Matthew 4 through 5?
Yep. So it starts off, Jesus answered them, "See that no one is leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray."
And isn't there another one up in a little further down? Was it 24?
Yeah, let me get there. It says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect."
So he's telling them to be ready, right? He's saying, like, there's potential of people being led astray, and how are they going to be led astray?
By some great signs and wonders.
Signs and wonders, or somebody saying, "Hey, I'm the Christ, I'm the Savior, I'm the Messiah." They may not use that words, but I'm the one that has all the answers to get things straight. Right?
Yeah.
And he's saying, don't be led astray. I'm the one. Remember, I'm the one. So he's letting him know there's going to be others going to come and try to be like me or act like I am the one. But they're not, right? So what are some of the things that in this short, where we read verse 1 through 14 that he does say to be ready for, and that can cause people to be led astray? In what ways can they be led astray?
There's the false worship.
False worship, yeah.
Yeah, so all the external stuff that we try to do are, well, for them it was the temple and it was circumcision. For us, it's our church buildings and our...
Really?
I'm sorry, dude, but, yep.
Or maybe, how about the music we sing?
The music we sing? Yeah. Well, we put an emphasis on the thing. Instead of worshiping the Lord, we're worshiping what we're doing, worshiping the Lord.
Right. When the means.
Yes. And if that becomes the worship, you know. Yes. So for us, but yep. For them it was, you know, the temple and
yep.
activities, yep. like circumcision.
Yeah. So some people do worship.
Yeah. Well, some people worship.
Yeah. And so, or their building, or their institution, or their organized group.
It's their ministry that they have, and it yep. becomes greater than what their worship for God is.
Yep. And it's, we're just living in that's what we're living for. And that's our identity. Just like they had their identity in their temple, and in their traditions, and in their history, and their heritage. All that was, their identity was found in that. And Jesus is telling them, not a stone's being left. So their identity is going to have to be in someone else, or something else, but someone else. And so it's same with, he's warning them, you're going to be led, this is going to be God. I'm not going to be here. And there's going to be people coming along to make it about other things, to lead you astray and miss it. And what are the results of some of it?
Well, some of the things, other things that could lead them astray, tribulation, persecution.
Yes.
Being hated. He said they would hate you
yes.
because of me.
Yes, yeah.
And that's a hard thing, to be hated.
Yeah.
To feel that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't he say, some of them, you will be put to death. Now, he's saying it, you know, here's the 12 disciples, and they're like listening to him, and he starts to say, some of you are going to be put to death. I wonder if they're looking at each other like,
which one is it?
Was it me?
They're all like, it's Peter.
Yeah, so, but I mean, sometimes we miss it. He was talking to a group of 12 guys, telling them this. Some of you are going to be put to death. He wasn't just saying it to us now, though it could be some people for us, but to them in the moment, he's answering their questions and he's telling them, this is real, guys. This is what's about to happen. And it's going to be delayed. And then it says, and it says, some will fall away even, right? In verse, is it 10 or verse 11? I don't have my glasses on right yet.
All right, so verse 10 says that many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another.
So here's a result of being led astray. That you can tell that they're being led astray. They're falling away. They're betraying one another, hating one another. And it says many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And there'll be lawlessness increase. The love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. So here's he's listening to these things that this is what's coming, guys. This is real. This is it. The kingdom is not going to come in its fullness. It's still going to be all this bad stuff happening. Some people are going to try to lead you astray. And some are going to lead those in the future astray. You know, I think of when Paul's about to go to Jerusalem, where he knows he's going to end up eventually dying, is he calls the Ephesian elders come. He says, "There's going to be some come on among you that are going to lead others astray and make disciples after themselves instead of disciples after Jesus." Mm-hmm. And he said, "That's what he's saying is that's what's going to happen." And Paul recognizes it. He's writing to the Ephesians. It's actually recorded in Acts, and Luke's recording the conversation, and Paul's telling them there's going to be those that come will lead the others astray because they'll be making disciples after Jesus. And that would be one thing to be keeping an eye on is, are people making disciples after Jesus or after themselves or after their organization or after their way of thinking? Mm-hmm. You know, is it about a person named Jesus? And Jesus is the one, and he's talking about there's going to be people that come to lead astray, and so so all these things are about to going to happen. So he's letting them know there's going to be a time period, and these things are going to be things to watch for. But at the same time, and he says that the love of many will grow cold. But then he says verse 14. Let's close with this here. Let's see. Can you read that one again? Verse 14.
Verse 14. Sorry, let me get there. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come.
So the gospel of the kingdom. Now, we always hear the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of salvation, and that those kind of phrases. Here's a unique phrase he uses. And the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed, right, to the whole world. As a testimony to all nations, to all ethnic groups, to all different language groups. That's what that word means. Mm. So he's saying that every ethnic group is going to get a chance to hear the gospel of the kingdom. Not just the gospel of salvation, but the gospel of the kingdom, which is what we're going to talk about next week. That's what we're going to start to talk about a little bit. What does that mean? Just like the end of the age, the gospel of the kingdom for them would have meant something. And we don't usually talk a lot about it in our Western world of Christianity, a lot. It's kind of been kind of lost, pushed aside, kind of left to the side because other things have become the focus. But we're going to understand some of this. It's important that we'll talk about what that means also next time. So when is the end going to come? We have an answer.
When all nations have heard the testimony of
the gospel
of the kingdom.
Gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. So let's close there. Thanks for joining us. You guys have a great week. Talk to you later. If you'd like to learn more on this topic and others like it, you can do so by going to my website at letyourkingdomcome.com. If you're interested in having me speak at any of your gatherings, whether large or small, contact me through the website. Be blessed.